Masters, it also must be said, like to be met. They like to be challenged. They like to be tested. They don't want sheep or goats. They like some combat, some swordplay. They want you to meet them with total authenticity, and they want you to realise the truth for yourself. For yourself. There's another thing, interesting thing about Sangharakshana. I remember once making a quite serious decision about my spiritual life, and I wrote to him asking for advice, and he clarified a few things, and at the end, he said, in the end, it's your decision, and I am confident in any decisions you might make about your life. So a very powerful thing for your teacher to say to you. He knew what he was saying. He was saying, it's your life. It's your life. There's a very touching and moving story about a Tang Chinese master. I'm going to use his Japanese name because it's, or the Japanese pronunciation of his name, because it's, I can't say the Chinese. Probably can't say the Japanese either. I'm very conscious of Ruben, who's been in Japan, and my Japanese pronunciation, he's probably wincing up there. But anyway, there's the story of Kyogen. And Kyogen was a particularly gifted young monk, and he joined the monastery in his teens. And unfortunately, his teacher, his master, the head of the monastery, died after only a couple of years of his training. And the monastery was taken over by the monk Issan. And Issan knew Kyogen well. And this Zen school was noted for the strong bonds, the warm, affectionate bonds between master and disciple, master and pupil. And Issan knew how brilliant Kyogen was, but also knew how far he had to go. Kyogen knew the scriptures very well. In fact, he knew them off by heart. But he had a lot of spiritual work to do. And Kyogen was rather dazzled by his own brilliance. And Kyogen had to go to Issan to ask to train under him now. He had to formally ask him to take over his training. And Issan asked, are you sure you wish to continue? After all, you do know the scriptures by heart now. And Kyogen was very pleased that he'd been recognised, you know, that there was such recognition, and said, well, yes, maybe another year or two here would help me. And Issan said, you conceited little idiot. Do you think that all the scriptures in the world will make you understand the real mystery? Where do you go after death? Do you know? Tell me. Well, Kyogen had to find out, so he went through all the scriptures in his head, and he couldn't find the answer, where do I go when I'm dead? He searched through volumes, found other volumes, read, reread, no answer. And it became his koan, where do I go after I'm dead? Where do I go after I'm dead? Couldn't sleep, couldn't eat, and he was convinced he'd find the answer in the scriptures. They are voluminous, after all, so he was poring over them. Where do I go after death? Where do I go when I'm dead? And in a state of terrible doubt and confusion, he rushed back to Master Issan. He said, I can't find the answers in the scriptures, so please, you tell me, where do I go after death? I can't bear it. He's really worked up out of his head. And Master Issan said, it cannot be told, nor would I rob you of finding out for yourself. At this, Kyogen was completely out of it. He completely lost it. He just got furious. His blind fury took hold of him. He just grabbed hold of Master Issan, his teacher, and he said, you must tell me. I cannot go on otherwise. Tell or I kill you. I mean, you really can get worked up like that when you practice. Tell or I kill you. And he meant it. He really would kill Issan. Issan, utterly fearless, just roared with laughter and said, and do you think that my dead body will tell you? And Kyogen just went flat. He just went flat. And then he realised what he'd done. He'd threatened his teacher, his master. He got violent with his teacher. He felt terribly ashamed. So ashamed that he felt that he'd just broken the link with his master and with the teachings. He just felt he just had to leave. He just had to go and just leave. Lead a very humble life. He took off his robes, just wore ordinary gear, and just wandered the countryside. He just decided, well, I'll just live harmlessly and humbly. I'll just become a wanderer, just going from place to place. So he did this with, you know, just all his conceit, you know, really hammered. And eventually he found his way to the tomb of Hui Neng, the great sixth patriarch. And somehow the grave, the tomb, was neglected and run down. So he just spent his time very humbly, just sweeping away the leaves, weeding the paths, tending the gardens, taking stones and flints from the ground, just very simply, year after year, just leading a very simple, useful, harmless life. Just getting on with his practice and working. And this went on for about 10 years. And then one day he'd swept the yard, as usual. He'd collected the leaves in a basket and the odd stray pebble, and as usual he emptied all this stuff into a bamboo thicket near the tomb. And one of the pebbles just clicked against the bamboo. Just as usual, it's a usual sound. And that click just went right to his heart. And then he just knew. He just saw. He knew where he would go after death. He had a great awakening. So he put away his tools, he bathed, and for the first time since he'd left Isan, he put on his monk's robes. He went up a little hill and stood looking in the direction of Isan's monastery, and prostrated fully 9 times in profound gratitude to the teacher who, even at the peril of his life, did not rob him of his own realization. Very touching, beautiful story. So the masters want you to realize for yourself. The bliss-bestowing hands throw you back on yourself.